together, be exalted now in the heavens. Let's sing that. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name. Come on, just worship him.
This time together in your house. God, we're so grateful that we get to be here with your family.
Yes.
We're so grateful that we get to be here and worship you, Jesus, for everything that you've done in our lives.
Yes.
A couple of nights ago, I had a dream. I know that God wants to do miracles in this place today. God wants to restore us today. God wants to bless us today. The dream that I had was of a young man. He came into the church service and he was acting really tough and like he didn't need anybody. But during the service, I went up to him and I put my head up against his and I said, "Do you want to be set free? Do you want Jesus to set you free?" And he started weeping and he said, "Yes, I do want Jesus to set me free." And then we were both weeping and we were crying. And I prayed a prayer over him, and I just asked God, "Lord, please set this young man free." And to me, that was a sign God was speaking to me, that he wants to set people free this morning, that he wants to do miracles in the lives of his people this morning. And I believe that as you open your heart, open your mind to what God wants to say to you this morning, that wonderful things are going to happen for you. He is going to begin the restoring process in your life.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Carrie.
Kathy.
We have had a lot of fun together over the last, since I met you in 1995. And then that just means we're young. And then we
young.
Started working together. You became my husband's assistant. And mine too, even though he said you were his. But anyway, I claimed you too as my assistant. And we kind of joke and we say, because Carrie really doesn't make very many mistakes.
She knows of.
Well, she hardly ever makes any mistakes. She's pretty close to perfect. And it has been just a joy to work with her. And she's done a lot of the behind-the-scenes things. You may have not seen her, but recently, she has accepted to become the Young Professionals pastor over Gateway City Church, and we're just blessed to have her. We've been through a lot of seasons together, a lot of winters, springs, and summers, mm-hmm. and falls together, haven't we?
True story.
So your story is in the winter season in my book that I wrote about the unexpected seasons, the seasons of a woman's life. But some of the guys are reading this and they're getting a lot out of it too. So who has been through an unexpected season recently? Like you're going through it right now. Okay, this young lady on the corner, I want to give you my book and just bless you with it. You're welcome. And we're going through some really great seasons as a church, as Gateway, and my husband's vision for 10 cities. He's visiting with the church in Oklahoma right now, and we're in talks with a couple of other churches to become a part of our 10 cities vision. He's doing a lot of traveling, so I asked him, if we just moved into a new house, I want to get a really top-notch security system, really good locks on the door. And I said, "You know, you might even get me a watchdog." So he said, "That's a great idea." So he went to the pet store. And he asked the guy there, he says, "I want a Doberman Pinscher for my wife. I want a watchdog for her." And the employee said, "Oh, if it's a guard dog you want, I've got just the dog for you." So he went to the back of the store and he brings out this little chihuahua. And my husband said, "You're kidding me, right? This is a joke. A chihuahua? Come on." He said, "No." The employee said, "This dog is special. He knows karate." My husband said, "Seriously, karate?" And the employee puts the dog down and he points to a sign advertising dog food. And he gives the command, "Pepe, karate the sign." And Pepe runs up and rips the sign to shreds. And my husband's like, "Whoa, this dog does know karate." So the employee points to the chair in the corner and he says, "Pepe, karate chair." He runs over to the chair and he rips up the sign to shreds. And my husband says, "Wow, I'm impressed. I will take him." So when he got home that day, he holds this little thing, I don't know, something behind his back. He said, "Honey, I got a surprise for you." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Look." He shows me the chihuahua. And I said, "No way. No, that's, are you playing a joke on me?" He said, "No." He said, "Really? This dog knows karate." I said, "Karate my eye."
They fell for it. I think they fell for it.
Did you fall for it? You knew it was a joke, right? Thank you, son. He's laughing. He's laughing at Mama's jokes.
Good boy.
He's a good boy. Gateway, you're a church that loves to hear God. You love to have an experience with Him. And I believe that God has given me and Carrie a word for you this morning. And I believe that God is bringing Gateway into a season of restoration. So what that means is He's bringing you into a season of restoration too. He wants to minister this morning to the deepest parts of our souls. That means our minds, our wills, our emotions. He wants to heal us. Did you know that there's 7 and probably more promises in the Word of God where God promised to restore our souls and more? He promises to restore our relationship with God and others, our health, our provision, our inner strength. In Psalms 23:3, it says, "He restores my soul, stolen blessings, lost honor and position, and wasted years." God wants to restore all of these things in our lives, but there's one area, Carrie, where I believe that God wants us to focus on this morning. He wants to restore our souls.
Yeah, in Psalm 71:20 through 21, it says, "You have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life and lift me up from the depths of the earth. You will restore me to greater honor and comfort me once again." How many of you need that promise today? How many of you want to be comforted by the great restorer today? Amen.
Carrie, 15 years ago, you went through a winter season in your life. It was a really cold, dark time for you. And something really devastating happened in your family and to you. I want you to tell your Gateway family this morning, what happened?
Absolutely. So as Kathy said, it was about 15 years ago, and I was 26 years old. Don't do the math. I was married to Tim, who was my high school sweetheart, and we had been married for just over 7 years, and it felt like we had made it as a family. I don't even know if that's possible, but it kind of felt like all of our boxes were checked. We were living in Southern California, part of a church plant. We were the youth ministers there. We had 2 daughters, which we were hoping we wanted children, so we had our kids. We had just started a business together, and we had just bought our first home as well. So it just felt like, you know, everything was really good, and life was going really well. We were really enjoying our life and what God had done for us. But in an instant, all of that changed. On October 26, 2003, a fire broke out in the hills behind our home, and it was a really big fire. You may have heard about it in the news headlines, the old fires in San Bernardino. It was one of the largest fires in the history at that time, and so it was really serious. And the flames were massive. We were the last row of houses on a reservoir, so the hills were actually butting up to our backyard. So we were the first line of fire there. And it was literally raining ash. So, you know, the picture of Armageddon, and we were kind of freaking out. And we knew we had to get our girls out of there. So So we decided to evacuate. Tim wanted to stay behind, and we were loading him up into the car one by one. I was rushing, I was getting my keys, and I was, you know, trying to get out of there. And Tim was holding one of our sleeping girls in his arms. And he kind of stopped and he did something interesting. He started to reminisce with me about our life while we're standing in the driveway. And he told me, you know, look, he says, you have the life that you've always wanted. He said, look around, you've got your girls, you've got your house, you've got everything you wanted. God's done so much for us. And of course, I'm thinking, can we have this conversation another time? I mean, I'm literally seeing the fires behind our home, you know. But he continued on and he said, you know, if anything ever happened to me, I want you and the girls to be happy. And I just thought that was really strange. And we had a moment. And so I kind of hugged him tight and we went on our way. And that turned out to be the last thing that he ever said to me. A few hours later, I received a call from his phone, and a man had found him in the street and dialed the last number that he called. He had fallen and he was unconscious, and he was airlifted to Loma Linda Hospital, which is one of the highest hospitals for such a serious injury. And so he remained on life support the next week. And you know those seconds, every second of somebody remaining on life support is really difficult, isn't it? Every second you feel it, right? So it ended up being 9 days. Those were the longest days of my life. But after 9 days of waiting and trusting God for signs of life, my husband passed away. And I began my new life as a single mom. And this is not how I planned for my life to look. You know, I didn't plan for this. In fact, I was really struggling because I thought, God, I had lived. I had done everything right. I had followed your plan, and then this stuff was happening, and what was going on? You know, I felt like I had done my part, but why was I experiencing this? And it was really difficult. And my life was totally upside down, and I wasn't sure if I was going to ever recover. So I spent the next year picking up the pieces of my life. But how many of you know God will never leave us in a place of brokenness? Do you know that? God is never going to leave you in a place of feeling broken, in a place of pain. That is not God's final resting place for you. He has a better plan for your life, and he will be faithful to the promise. So no matter how great the loss, no matter how great the pain, there is always healing. There is always restoration, and there is always learning to trust again. And so I had to grasp onto that. And it was just like a child learning to walk. God took me by the hand and he led me step by step by step. And he helped me grow strong. And I went through all the emotions. You know, I have to be real. I was angry. I was hurt. I was bitter. I was all of those things. Because placing your hope in God does not mean that you do not feel. Right? We have to be real. We are not meant to be robots or live in denial. We have to know what we're dealing with, right? God doesn't want us to say we're not, you know, a better Christian if we don't feel. In fact, it's better that we feel it all, you know? But at the end of the day, at the end of all my crying, at the end of all my fear, I had a choice to make. I couldn't change what has happened, but I could change where it takes me, right? And that was where restoration began.
Wow, Carrie, it's hard for me to focus on what I'm supposed to say next because that is super heavy. But I know that there's maybe a lot of people hearing your voice that are going through something really similar, and they're wondering if their hearts can be restored. And I know that you're a total testimony to that. As kids, we had a rhyme, and maybe you said it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're really struggling, and you might be in the midst of an impossible situation, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to keep your head above water with one nostril above the waterline. You're just trying to breathe. But Psalm 71 speaks to us this morning. God says he wants to restore you back to life. He wants to restore you to greater honor this morning. I love the beautiful psalm in Psalm 23 where King David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." how could King David say that the Lord was his shepherd and that he had everything that he needed? He experienced that personally. How could he say, even though I walk through a place of death, like I literally feel like I want to die right now? He said, not only does God lead me, but he's right there with me through the darkest times of my life. Yeah. Carrie, when Tim passed away, I know that you're a woman of the word, and when you were a part of the church plant that you went with Tim, that you were even preaching on Sundays there, you're a woman of the word. You dove into God's word. You had to dive into God's word for yourself, for you personally. Not only were you preaching it, but you said, God, I need this for me. What did you learn about God's restoring power?
Well, first I had to understand, what does it mean when God restores our soul? You know, I didn't really have a good grasp on that. I know what the word restoration means. I can use it in a sentence, but that's about as far as I understood it. So I had to really dive in and study that word and study what God was saying about restoration. So when I looked it up in the dictionary, restoration means it's the act of returning something to a former owner, a former place, or a former condition. And, you know, I thought, that's good. I want my stuff returned, right? If something happens or is lost, I would like it returned to how it was before. And I thought, I want to buy into that, right? But do you know God takes it one step higher? So God's view of restoration is actually beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. Amen. So you've heard the term level up. Well, God levels up. When it comes to restoration, he doesn't just give it back to you. He does more. And so that's what the key is. And so the biblical meaning of the word restoration is to fix, to make new, to make better, and to revive. I mean, how many of you want God to revive something in your life today? Do you have something he needs to fix and make new? So I had something God needed to revive, and this got exciting for me. So I began to study restoration. I found the stories of Job, and you guys have read some stories in the Bible, Ruth and Naomi and many others who had lost it all, right? Job lost it all. He had nothing left. But if you go back to the last chapter of Job, you will see God doesn't just give Job back everything that he loses. He actually gives him back double than what he had before. That's what God did for Job. And so I thought, you know, if God brought them through the most difficult and unthinkable situations, I wonder if it could be true for me. Can God do this for me? Does God still restore today? Those stories are really good, and I love those stories, but does God still restore today? So I decided that I would believe what I had always been taught. God is truly the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Yes. Yes. Therefore, that same principle that worked in the Bible, that could work for me. I had access to the same power that delivered Job of all his troubles. I had that same power alive and working in me. Yes. And that's when I realized I wanted that. I wanted God's form of restoration. So not only was God promising that I would be restored, but that it would be better than it was before. And how is that possible, right? How is that possible? You know how that is. Sometimes we have questions. We have a lot of questions, and I certainly did. I thought, how could you ever restore this mess? How, God? This is impossible. But you know, I didn't need to know the how. I didn't need to have all my questions answered. I just needed to hold on to the one who could get me there. That's what I needed to do. And this is true for you also. If you've got a lot of questions right now and you're holding on to some broken pieces, God has a plan for your situation, and he wants to restore and make it better than it was before. Now, Kathy, we were talking earlier when we were planning this message, and you were telling me about a really cool story about a piece of furniture that applies to restoration. Yeah.
Well, about 20-plus years ago, again, we were moving. My husband and I were moving into a new place, and we had a group of really great guys from the church bring all their trucks over and fill our boxes into the trucks, and we had this one piece of furniture that we've had since we were married. It's a beautiful armoire. There it is in the picture. He told the guys, now take special care of it. This means a lot to us. I want you to tie that thing down really good and make sure that nothing bad happens to it. We got to our new place, our new home.
We're there, the guys start rolling up with the trucks, and one guy runs up to the house. His face is white as a sheet. And he said, "Pastor, Pastor, I'm so sorry." And my husband said, "No, not the armoire." And he said, "You're never gonna believe what happened. We tied that thing down, and all of a sudden we're on the freeway and a wind whips up, the ropes go up, the armoire, the doors fly off, and they go three lanes across the freeway." It was totally, he brought it, totally demolished, totally shattered. But we had a friend who's, he was in the first service, Pat Martinez, some of you may know him. He loves to work with wood in his garage. He said, "Pastor, let me take that home. Let me see if I can fix it." So for 6 months, after he came home from work, he took the splinters, glued them back in place. The top of that little ledge there, all the whole top was shattered. For 6 months, he glued all those little pieces back together. One day he called us, "Pastor, can I come over? I've got something for you." And it's kind of funny because Pat, when he laughs, he giggles. And it sounds funny coming out of a man. But he was really giggling, and he couldn't stop giggling. He's giggling, giggling, giggling. We're like, "What's so funny?" Anyway, he brings it back better than it was before. You can't even tell that that thing was shattered. And Jesus is our good shepherd. And he is going to restore us. He's going to take all the broken pieces of our lives, of our hearts, and he's going to totally restore us better, like you were teaching us, Carrie, yeah, than what it was before.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful story. It's a picture to us of what restoration really looks like. It's like, even though that armoire slid on its face, right? Have you ever slid on your face before?
I have, and it's so embarrassing because I have that story in my book, and I don't want you guys to judge me when you read it. But that actually happened to me, but we won't
get
go
the book,
into it.
Get the book and then judge her for it. It's great. But it's not a fun feeling, right? To totally face plant, right? So I'm so glad that we can trust God to restore us, because that's what he's promised. So if this last season has been difficult for you, if you've walked through some trials, God is saying to you today, "Let me lead you into a place of total restoration," because that's what he wants to do for us today. And as we said earlier, we don't have to know the how. Right? We don't have to have it all figured out. We just need to know the who. So who is this one that we're talking about? Who is the restorer? And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is our good shepherd. In John 10:4, Jesus talks about his sheep, and he says, "When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Do you know the voice of Jesus today? Is he speaking to you? Because sometimes when we're hurting, when we're broken, it feels like God is silent, doesn't it? Sometimes you feel like, "God, in my greatest need, I need to hear from you." And sometimes it's like crickets. I don't hear anything. But do you know that God is always speaking to you? He is always restoring you. You can get the picture. When you're crying, God is crying with you. When you're weeping, Jesus' arms are wrapped around you, and he's weeping with you. He is not far from you, but he is near in this time. So he's our answer, and he wants us to follow him. You know, and I had to follow him in the darkest season of my life. I had to do that. I had to be willing, because it's not a quick fix. It's a process, right? We can't get a microwave healing. It would be great to push a button and feel better tomorrow, but that's not how it works. Right? So it's a process, and we have to partner with him through it.
So Jesus was doing his part, Carrie. He was leading you. He was guiding you in his word. But it sounds like we have a part to play, too, in our restoration process. Mm-hmm. You had to listen to God's voice during that difficult time in your life. Can you tell us some ways that we can partner with God and come into our season of restoration?
Yeah, so we do have a part to play, okay? So we're not the healer, right? God is the healer, but we actually have a part we can play by partnering with him for restoration. So I want to share three ways that we can do that. The first thing we have to do is we have to change our thinking. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life." That's a heavy statement. If somebody told me, I know something that's controlling your life, I'd say, tell me what it is. It's your thoughts. Your thoughts control your life. It's kind of like a remote control car. You know, if you think of a car sitting there when you have a remote control, the car can't move or do anything outside of what the remote tells it to do. So if the remote control says go left, the car goes left, right? If the remote control says go right, the car goes right. It receives that signal. And our minds are the same way. Everything we do starts with a single thought. We're controlled by it. And the Bible tells us to be careful because God knows how we are with our thoughts. God is aware. And it doesn't take any work to think of a worst possible scenario. Are you with me in that? I'd love to say I always think the best of every situation that comes my way, like it's always going to work. But sometimes I just have this gift of going like 0 to 100. I'm already in the worst possible scenario before anything happens. I was telling Kathy, I was driving to my house one day after work, and have you ever been so deep in thought that you kind of arrive home, but you're not sure how you got there? I didn't know how I changed lanes and exited at the right place. I just showed up in my driveway, and I thought, was I driving this whole time? That's on autopilot. It's kind of scary. But I was doing that, and I had this thought. I was thinking, okay, so I was having this, like, pain in my side, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm driving, and it's kind of throbbing, and it's beeping, as my kids used to say. So my side was beeping, and I'm like, what organ is this? Is this my spleen? Where's my liver? And I'm thinking about it, and I said, oh my gosh, my friend had that test come back. She had a tumor on her liver. I wonder if I have a tumor. So then I'm thinking, man, if I had a tumor, I would have to have surgery. I would definitely have to take time off of work. I don't even have time to take off of work right now. And I can't believe I now have a tumor and I have to take time off of work. And my heart is beating fast and I'm going, what the heck am I doing? I'm immediately already there self-diagnosing, you know, my problem. And of course, I get out of the car, my pain's gone, and there was no issue whatsoever. So we have to think about what we're thinking about, right? We have to really check in to what we're thinking. And it's like watching a show on TV. If a scary show pops up, we have to pick up that remote and change the channel. That channel doesn't change all by itself. We have to do it ourselves, right? And we can't control what pops up in our minds sometimes, right? We can't control it, but we can control what we allow ourselves to think about.
And Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us how to do that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So if we're truly trusting the Lord, that means that we're not leaning in the direction that we want to lean. We're not leaning in our own thoughts and our own ways, but we're actually leaning into how he wants us to think. He says, acknowledge me in all of your ways. And then the promise comes. He will direct our path. He will show us what to do. He will show us what to think. He will show us what direction to go. So, Carrie, what's the second way to partner with God for our restoration?
So the first thing we do is change our thinking. But the second thing we have to do is we need to change our direction. Acts 3:19-21 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you, before whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So from the beginning of time, God's plan was to restore all things in your life.
Well, I'm looking at the first word in that scripture, and the first word is repent. And I don't know that we don't really use that in our everyday language. Can you explain to us what that word means?
Yeah, well, repent simply means to change your direction. I think sometimes we have a vision of repenting as some big holy act where we're like face ground sucking carpet, and sometimes that's needed.
Yeah.
However, most of the time, it's just a change in your direction. So many times we're walking in the wrong direction, or maybe we're thinking in the wrong direction, and God wants us to change and go his way instead of our own way.
Right. So really, it's just saying, God, I'm sorry. I want to change my direction. And then we have that promise. He says, if you will repent, you'll change your direction.
then that's when we're going to be refreshed. Then that's when we're going to be restored. Then his restoration process can start in our lives. So the only thing that really holds back, God holds back from restoring in our lives, is a person that doesn't want to change. And so it's pretty simple. If we'll change to his ways, then we're going to be refreshed and restored. So restoration begins when we change our thinking, when we change our direction. And the third way to be restored is by changing what we're looking at, changing our perspective. Carrie, again, it must have been really hard for you when you're going through this really dark season as a single mother of two baby girls to keep your faith in God. I'm sure people want to know. They probably had the same questions that you had, like, God, why is this happening to me? How am I going to continue? How am I going to be a single mom? How did you find answers to those questions?
Well, I had to ask myself, how does God view my situation? Because in my perspective, I had lost everything. So I knew how I viewed my situation, but I needed to see how God viewed it. And it's really easy to form perspectives based on your past experiences, right? It's like putting on a pair of glasses with a filtered lens. We see whatever the lens shows us. So if we were rejected and abandoned in our past, it's very easy to form the perspective that we are unloved or we're not worthy of love and that it could happen again. So I had a lens that I was looking through and it was painted with fear. What if I lose the next person that's close to me? What if this happens again? And so how do we change that lens? We choose to place our trust in God and not in our past experiences. That's the first thing we have to do, right? We do that by remembering his faithfulness. Isaiah 63:7 says, I will recount the Lord's faithful acts. I will sing the Lord's praises because of all the Lord did for us. In this chapter, the Israelites were pretty much freaking out like I was. They were worried about whether they were going to be defeated. They were in a very dire situation. They were up against a wall and they had nothing else, nowhere else to turn. And they were scared. So what did they do? In verse 11, it says, then they remembered those days of old. And this is where everything changed. And this is what we have to get a hold of this morning. They began to recount what God had done. They cried out, where is the one who brought Israel through the sea with Moses as their shepherd? Where is the one who sent his Holy Spirit to be among his people? The one whose power was displayed when Moses lifted up his hand? The one who divided the sea before them, making himself famous forever? And that last verse says, you led your people, Lord, and you gained a magnificent reputation. And hasn't he gained a magnificent reputation in your life? Don't we need to look back and see what God has done for us? When you're up against a wall and you're not sure what to do, we need to recount his faithfulness to us. We have to build our confidence in the Lord and remember what he has done for us in the past. That's how we push through. That's how we make it, right? We push through with our confidence in the Lord. So how has God come through for you today? How has God come through for you? Can you remember a time you were struggling? Do you remember when you lost your job and you weren't sure where that provision was going to come? And then all of a sudden there was a new job. God answered that prayer. Maybe when your child was sick, you prayed, God, help my child, and your child recovered. What about when you received a bad medical report? Do you remember feeling afraid and what's going to happen? And yet here you are today because God healed you. You have to remember the things that God has done. And as a 26-year-old, I wasn't sure how my life was going to pan out. Would God restore me as I promised? I didn't know. I have to be real today, and I have to say, I didn't know. It was a faith walk. Every single day, I had to choose the right thing. But now I know, and I can say to my 26-year-old self, it all worked out. God restored me just like he promised he would do. God was faithful to you. God did it. And so I can hold on today and say, I know he'll do it again. So how many of us need to remember his faithfulness today?
Carrie, I am so proud of you because you did all the things that you're not just preaching, you're telling the truth, as some preachers say. But you're telling the truth here this morning, And you did. You changed your perspective. You decided that you were going to trust in God, and you decided that you were going to remember his faithfulness. That is awesome. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you going to make a decision to change your perspective this morning? Are you going to believe that God's plan for you is the best and that his ways are the best? I think for us to be reminded, like Carrie was preaching this morning, that we need to look at Psalms 23 together and just be reminded of how good God is. Look what it says. It says, I will always have everything that I need. That means physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every way. Mm-hmm. We're his kids. We're going to have everything that we need. He restores my strength. He is going to restore your strength this morning. Mm-hmm. He is going to lead you on the right path. He's going to lead you on a good path.
Yeah. It says, even if I walk through a valley as dark as the grave, and how many of us have walked through a valley like that, I will not be afraid because you are with me. It says that you're going to have more than enough. You're not going to have just barely enough to scrape by. It says, my cup is full and spilling over.
Awesome. I love that. And I love the way that this ends. It says, your goodness and your mercy will be with me all the days of my life. Mm-hmm. I will live in the Lord's house for a long, long time. So Gateway, here's the word of the Lord for you this morning. You've been through some tough times. You've been through some challenging seasons. But God, Jesus is your shepherd, mm-hmm. and this is your season of restoration this morning. We don't have to wonder if God wants to restore our souls. We know that he does. But our part is that we have to change what's going on up here in our thinking. We have to change the way that we're walking, and we have to change our perspective.
A few weeks after Tim passed away, I was given a book. And the very last chapter of the book was called The Rainbow. And it was all about how we can count on the promises of God in really difficult times. That same day that I read that final chapter of the book, I was out running errands and driving, and on my way home, I saw the biggest, brightest rainbow I had ever seen in my life. I mean, I saw all six colors, and it was absolutely stunning. And people driving along the road were pulling over and taking pictures, And I started just tearing up. I just thought, man, I knew God was confirming his promise to me. I knew he was showing me that he will restore every area of my life, that he will not fail me. And so I cried most of the way home, and I just thought, God, you're so good. You're so good to me. And as I turned onto my neighborhood, I saw the actual end of that rainbow was centered in my neighborhood. And I thought, I've never in my life seen the end of a rainbow or where it goes. But turning the corner onto my street, I was in total disbelief. The end of the rainbow actually ended in my backyard. And I lost it. You know, I was just crying. I thought, God, you couldn't have been more clear about what you're going to do in my life. And as I pulled in, my neighbor was sitting on the porch and she was sobbing, and she came and hugged me and said, Carrie, this is for you. God is doing something for you. You know, and I can look back today, and that rainbow has been there in my journey all since that time that it happened. It's been here for me. God is showing me that he promised to restore, and he did. He was faithful. He was faithful to me in the hard times. He was faithful to me when I was alone at home and I was upset and crying. He was there in every moment. And God is there for every moment in your path as well. Everything that has been broken, God's saying he wants to restore that today. And he has a plan for you that far surpasses anything you can imagine. Can you believe that today? Can you raise your faith today and say, you know, God, I believe you're going to do that? Because I think some people in this room need to hear, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for total restoration. God doesn't want to leave you in a place of brokenness. He doesn't want to leave you in a place of pain. His plan is to restore you and lift you up from the depths of where you fell and place you on solid ground. That's his plan, because he wants you to also be a testimony for others. He wants you to say what God has done for you. Let your testimony be alive and living for others, that they might rise up and become all God has called them to be. That is the plan of the Lord for you today. That's the plan of the Lord. So it's not too late. So as we close, let's just pray. God, we need you today. God, we need you in our lives today. Thank you, God, for being our restorer. Thank you for picking us up and placing us on solid ground, God. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we place our full trust in your hands today, and we remember your faithfulness to us, God. I pray for those who are here and are in need of restoration today. God, I pray that you would meet them right where they are at this morning, in the middle of their pain, in the middle of their questioning, God. Meet them. We surrender it all to you, Lord. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to just take a minute. Are any of you here in need of restoration today? Do you need God to make a situation in your life better than it was before? Do you need something to be revived in a relationship? Maybe in your family, you're experiencing brokenness. God is here today. The Restorer is here today, and he wants to meet with you in a very real and personal way. As an act of faith, I'd like you to lift your hand. If you're feeling like you would like God to restore, would you lift your hand with me and say, God, that's me. I need your restoration today. God, I don't know how, Lord. I don't know how, but I know who, God, and I'm depending on you today, God. Lift your hand with as an act of faith. Let God start this process in your life today. There's many hands lifted all over. And I want to just take one more minute if we remain with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Is there also someone here today, anybody here today that would say, I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to God. Maybe you haven't met the Restorer. Maybe you don't know who this Jesus is, and you're saying, that's me. This is my moment. This is my time. I need this today. Lift your hand and say, that's me. I want to meet the Restorer. I want to know who this is. Maybe you've fallen away from God. That's okay. You haven't missed anything. God is right here waiting to pick up the pieces right where you left off. He says, I'm here. Just trust him. Just trust him. I see your hands. God sees your hands. Many here are in need of restoration today. Thank you, God, for what you're doing this morning. You can put your hands down. God, thank you for what you're doing. I pray that you would touch each one that raised their hands today, God. For each one that wants to partner with you, take them by the hands and lead them into total healing, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have a prayer that's going to be up on the screen right now. And whether you raised your hand for the first time to know who God is, or maybe you're just wanting to start that process of restoration, let's all pray this together and really declare what we are asking God to do. So let's say it together. Father God, thank you for the promise of restoration. I believe that you want to make my life better than it was before. You have plans for me that are greater than I can ask, think, or imagine. I ask you to come into my life today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Empower me to change my thinking, my direction, and my perspective so that I can partner with you for restoration. I choose your way and your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we thank God for all he's done this morning? Thank you.
Can we say thank you to Pastor Carrie and Pastor Kathy for that amazing work? Wow. Gosh. That was an incredible word. In just a few minutes, we're going to dismiss you guys. The ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to collect the tithes and the offerings. But I just want to encourage you, if you made a decision for Jesus today, whether it's the first time or whether you decided to come back, there's a card in the seat back in front of you that says, I've decided. I encourage you to fill out that card and put it in the offering container as it passes, or take it to the welcome center, the counter out in the lobby, and you just walk up and say, I prayed a prayer today. Someone from our team wants to give you a gift and some next steps for you. We don't want you to walk through this journey alone. We want you to be connected. So please go out to the counter. We're going to worship for just a minute, and then I'm going to come back and dismiss you with a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you, God. In every season, Lord, you're worthy, God. Sing it together. Be exalted.
Be exalted.
Today, feeling heavy and wishing that someone would pray for you, please come up and get prayer. I want to dismiss you with a blessing. Can you raise your hands? I want to bless you with the empowerment from heaven to walk into a new, better season. So, Father God, I just lift up your people here today, God. Everybody in this room and in the cafe and watching online, God, I pray that you would lift them into their next season, God, and that it wouldn't just be on the same level, God, but that it would be better, Lord, that when they walk out of this building, that they would be stepping into the new thing that you have for them. I bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you receive that, can you just give God praise? Thank you guys for coming. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday. Also, there are water baptisms happening in the cafe. If you want to get baptized or watch the baptisms, head over to the cafe right now.